The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Today on the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt, brought to you in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Democrats push for record spending.
I don't know what universe they're living in that they think spending this money we don't have right now on priorities we don't need right now is a good idea.
The Attorney General uses the IRS to intimidate parents.
Worse than anything that we've seen in a long time.
We ask what the Biden administration is doing for those still trapped in Afghanistan.
They're just trying to buy enough Taliban cooperation to push this problem down the road a bit.
And cities begin firing the unvaccinated.
We must punish the disobedient. That is all it is about.
I'm Hugh Hewitt. Great to be with you. Catch my own radio program each weekday morning live, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time, and on demand 24/7. Learn more at HughHewitt.com. And follow me, please, on Twitter at Hugh Hewitt. Follow this program as well at Town Hall Review. There is a civil war among Democrats in Congress between those who want to spend a lot of money we don't have against those who want to spend even more money that we don't have. The progressives are at the wheel now, and they are driving this massive spending spree like a teenage boy with a new Mustang. And they've managed to get President Joe Biden fully on board with the left-wing agenda. Standing in their way is a very slim House majority and at least two Democratic senators who know they answer to more moderate constituents back home. Iowa Congresswoman Ashley Hinson is a freshman on the powerful Appropriations Committee. She joined me on the Hugh Hewitt Show. I know the power that an appropriator wields. So on one hand, having another $5 trillion to spend must be enticing. On the other hand, it's a nightmare for Americans, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I don't know what universe they're living in that they think spending this money we don't have right now on priorities we don't need right now is a good idea. And when you talk about the chaos and dysfunction in Washington, D.C., it was really on full display last week. It's still on display right now. And you know you really have a problem, Hugh, when Democrats are arguing over whether we should spend $3 trillion or $5 trillion that we don't have. I mean, this is the complete out-of-touch approach to policymaking that these Democrats are taking right now, arguing over trillions like they're nickels and dimes. And so the way I see it, and I'm proud to serve alongside Mr. Calvert as well, my colleague from California, on that Appropriations Committee, but the Democrats need a dose of Iowa common sense, and they need to see how real families are operating on a budget and making tough decisions, and it's very clear to me that they have completely lost touch with that.
Let me read to you from Politico this morning. Bad news for Biden. Democrats who are hoping that the monthly $300 per child checks the federal government started sending out to families over the summer would be a winner in the midterms won't like the findings of our latest poll with Morning Consult. Fewer than half of the respondents, 47%, gave congressional Democrats credit for providing the extra cash, and even fewer, 38%, credited President Joe Biden. While half of the registered voters support the expanded payments versus 38% in opposition, only 35% of registered voters, that's not likely voters, that's registered, want to make them permanent. So in other words, they've lost their party, they've lost the progressives, they've lost the country on this, Congresswoman Hinson.
Absolutely. And I think Americans are on to the fact that our credit card is maxed out in this country. The bill is due. And Democrats keep asking for a blank check to spend taxpayer dollars on their out-of-touch priorities through 2022. And, you know, when you talk about the child care tax credit or the child tax credit specifically, I mean, my husband and I got those checks in the mail. And we were like, what is this? And I think we tried to explain it to people in the district about, you know, this is something you were going to get as a tax credit next year. And now they're trying to buy off voters with checks, right? And that's what it seems like. And I understand, you know, families needing help with extra expenses. And it has been a tough year. And I understand that as a working parent myself. But it's very clear that The American taxpayer is tired of being disrespected. And this the pie in the sky idea that the Democrats keep going for is clearly it's not working for President Biden. And they have the triple threat of government right now. The Democrats are in control of the White House, the Senate, and the House, and they clearly can't get their act together, and the American people are onto these schemes.
Now, Congresswoman Hinson, you've only been there less than a year, but I hope you figured out Republicans win by persuading people on policy. Democrats win by writing checks. They are not going to win next year. I think you're going to have Speaker Kevin McCarthy and Leader Steve Scalise. I don't think you're going to have Speaker Pelosi and Leader Hoyer anymore. Do your colleagues across the aisle recognize that? Is this a desperate, flailing effort to hold off what is inevitable because of disgust with the president and redistricting?
Well, I believe so. And, you know, what you're seeing on the floor is this frantic effort to try to save a failed agenda. But it's very clear that everything President Biden touches fails. And that's why in Iowa, for example, you're seeing his approval rating at 31%. I mean, that's just an abysmal number. And again, Iowans are very common sense people. They care about the kitchen table issues, and Americans care about those kitchen table issues. And so, you know, I think when you look at what our possibilities are in 2022, Americans are ready for real leadership in Congress. They've seen what happens under a Speaker Pelosi-led House. She needs to be less focused on backroom deals and more focused on respecting taxpayers. And really, it's insulting to our taxpayers that are footing the bill for everything we spend. You know, they love to talk about free, free, free. I was on an event with another colleague of mine across the aisle, and he was talking about free community college, free child care. And I piped in and I said, excuse me, sir, but I think we need to point out here that no matter who is paying for it, it's taxpayers who are paying for it. It's not free. So it's a complete philosophical difference in thinking, and that's what we've been seeing on full display. It's just been an absolute circus. And obviously, I'm only 9 months in, but I'm hopeful that under Republican leadership, we can turn things around.
Parents across the country have been showing up to school board meetings as is their right to protest a number of troubling trends. This week, Attorney General Merrick Garland sent a letter to the FBI encouraging it to crack down on parents who oppose the teaching of critical race theory in public schools and of mandatory masks for children, especially small children. This got the attention of Alliance Defending Freedom, who regularly defends individuals who have their rights trampled on by the government. ADF Senior Counsel John Birch joined me on the Hugh Hewitt Show. The Attorney General directs FBI to investigate alleged, quote, violent threats by parents against school officials, writes Yahoo News. Attorney General Merrick Garland has directed the FBI and U.S. Attorney offices to investigate alleged threats being made against school board officials by a growing coalition of parents who are outraged by the imposition of racialized curricula and COVID-driven shutdowns and mass mandates of their local classroom. Your reaction, John Birch, of the Alliance Defending Freedom to Merrick Garland's memo?
Well, you know, I'm just aghast. As you know, Alliance Defending Freedom is the largest public interest law firm in the world, which is defending speech, religious liberty, parental rights, and the right to life. And when you think about parental rights, there are few things that are more fundamental than the right to direct your child's education. And so when you have comments like one of the recent gubernatorial candidates in the Virginia governor's race that parents don't have a role in educating their kids, you should be concerned. When you've got the entire weight of the United States Department of Justice saying, if you protest too loudly about critical race theory or pornographic books or other inappropriate materials being introduced into your child's school curriculum, now that's downright frightening. That's just a level of government intrusion into the basic fundamental right of being able to parent your child in this country, worse than anything that we've seen in a long time. And you can be sure that if they do come forward and they persecute and prosecute parents who are simply doing their job to make sure that their kids are going to be well taken care of at school and not influenced by ideology which is going to harm them, then we're going to be there to defend those parents.
This is Josh Hawley yesterday, John Birch, senior counsel at Alliance Defending Freedom in the Senate, talking to the number two, the deputy attorney general, Monica, about what the attorney general intended. I want to play the second of the two Hawley cuts, please. Cut number 20.
Let me just ask you this. Is parents waiting sometimes for hours to speak at a local school board meeting to express concerns about critical race theory or the masking of their students, particularly young children. Is that in and of itself, is that harassment and intimidation? Is waiting to express one's view at a school board meeting harassment and intimidation?
As the Attorney General's memorandum made quite clear, spirited debate is welcome, is a hallmark of this country. It's something we all should engage in.
And no, I don't think so, Ms. Monaco. With all due respect, it didn't make it quite clear. It doesn't define those terms, nor does it define harassment or intimidation. It talks about violence. I think we can agree that violence shouldn't be condoned or looked aside from in any way, swept under the rug at all. But harassment and intimidation, what did those terms mean in the context of a local school board meeting? I mean, this seems to...
Right there. John Birch, they are void for vagueness if they were to appear in a statute regulating conduct at a school board member. Am I right about that?
Yeah, absolutely. When you don't define a term like harassment or intimidation, then what happens is government officials use it to prosecute whatever conduct that they want. And you've seen over and over across the country over the last year, as you're talking about the very issues that Senator Hawley was mentioning, whether it's masking or vaccine mandates, whether it's the pornographic materials that we're increasingly seeing in schools, or the critical race theory, that what school boards are doing is they are shutting down parents as speakers. And when those parents get upset and they raise their voices and they say, this isn't right, you're supposed to be here to listen to us, because after all, the school board is working for us, the parents of the students, then the school board members run away. They shut down microphones. They shut down meetings. They meet in closed spaces, and they do anything they can to keep themselves from being exposed to public scrutiny of any kind. That's harassment. That's a problem.
I want to encourage parents who are upset with school boards never to go to a school board member's home, never to approach them outside of their car, always to appear at the podium. Because the least common denominator rule will work here. If you find the craziest parent doing the craziest thing, they will be used to define all parents upset with CRT, masking, or any kind of curriculum change. And no matter what the craziest school board member is doing, that will not get reported. That's just the media weighing in. Let Alliance Defending Freedom represent you. Call them up and tell them when the school board is shutting down your speech. Call them up, because yesterday I told people about Lisa, the, I believe, third grader who obliged to wear a mask to school, wore a Jesus Loves Me mask and was told to take it off. ADF got involved there as well, John. How long did it take to get that school board to reverse that edict?
No, it took a couple months, but eventually they did come around after it was revealed, thanks to the mom's investigation, that they had completely made up this policy. They had told her that they had a policy of not allowing kids to wear masks that would cause, dissension or rancor at school. And that wasn't even a policy that had existed. They made it up specifically for the purpose of preventing this child from wearing a Jesus Loves Me mask to school. But the school eventually did repent, and that little girl continues to wear her mask and has encouraged many of her friends to do the same. And that's what happens when you band together and you fight for freedom, is that you can win.
Coming up, Americans are still trapped in Afghanistan. What, if anything, is the Biden administration doing?
They're just trying to buy enough Taliban cooperation to push this problem down the road a bit.
The Town Hall Review returns in a moment.
Grounded in our distinctive Great Books curriculum, the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy prepares students for exciting careers in politics who understand the relevance of America's founding principles to today's policy challenges. From our Southern California campus, we've sent over 1,000 alumni across America and around the world. The application period for fall 2022 classes has begun. Find out more at pepperdine.edu/SPP. That's pepperdine.edu/SPP.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt. It's been well over a month since the last U.S. soldier boarded a plane and exited Afghanistan. We left behind tens of thousands of American citizens, legal permanent residents of this country, and SIV applicants and SIV holders, other visa holders, many of whom are presumed to be in hiding. Some have surely been killed by the Taliban already. Lieutenant Colonel James Carfano is an expert on national security and foreign policy with the Heritage Foundation. He joined Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560 The Answer out of Chicago.
There's really kind of two baskets or three baskets of failures. One is what the president did. What the president did was make a lot of really bad decisions that caused a lot of harm and suffering and sacrifice to U.S. national interest. That's all on him. And I think even though all the dots weren't necessarily connected in the hearing, I think that's incontrovertible. The second failure is the generals. And look, everybody understands that you want to be able for the president and his military advisors to speak in trust and confidence. We get that, right? So they can be frank and candid and everything else. But on the other side, what they are not there to do is essentially to provide political cover for the president and his political decisions. And I really think they failed to do that balance in the hearings and just in general. I don't think they're competent. I don't think they've served this country well. And I don't think they helped the American people really understand what happened in Afghanistan.
Well, General McKinsey said that he advised President Biden to leave 2,500 troops in Afghanistan. Biden doesn't recall that. So either they're lying under oath or Biden's lying. Who is it?
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing, the kind of evidence we really didn't get in the hearing is we really don't have a timeline. We really don't have the context. We really don't have who talked to who when. So we really don't have the connect the dots to really, you know, demonstrate, because they could say, well, I told the president. Well, I didn't tell the president. I told the SecDef and so who knows, right? But, and that's the third failure, which is, look, the Congress really failed to do its job. These hearings did not, you know, did not provide the kind of evidence to really understand what happened, why it happened, you know, where we are and where we go from here. I really do think we need an independent commission for that. But, you know, there was bipartisan kind of frustration with what happened in Afghanistan. But there was very, very partisan efforts to kind of put accountability. And the result of that is we never really got to, well, here's exactly what happened. Here's the timeline. Here's the context of all the conversations. And so there's a lot that was left unsaid.
Well, I agree with all of that regarding the postmortem. But then there's also the urgency of now, to borrow a favorite phrase of the left. And the now is, do we yet have a handle on Americans trying to get out, legal permanent residents trying to get out, Afghan allies that we want to extract? Do we have a handle on what those numbers are and how we're doing?
No, and it seems that the administration's priority in a, like a lot of their crisis management was not about addressing the issue, but kind of getting it off the news cycle so they could go back to focusing on their domestic agenda. I mean, I talk to other governments. I talk to people doing this on the ground. The U.S. government still doesn't really have a coherent strategy. They don't have a coherent effort. It does appear that they're continuing to talk to the Taliban, and I think they are cutting deals with the Taliban. But we don't know what kind of deals they're cutting. We don't know what kind of money's being transferred. And we don't know what they're really doing. And I think at this point, even they understand that the Taliban are not redeemable. But they're just trying to buy enough Taliban cooperation to push this problem down the road a bit.
Is there, to your knowledge, are there still private missions happening? And if so, are they getting cooperation from the State Department?
Well, there's absolutely private efforts going on. There's several underground railroads in operation. It's kind of a race between the Taliban shutting them down and those guys getting people out. They're largely funded by private sector people, and there's bribes and stuff like that involved.
Sure.
But the U.S. government doesn't appear to be the big player here.
But I mean, Well, right. I mean, they don't need to be a big player. They just need to let maybe some of these special ops retirees and others involved in these private missions that when they were being more public a few weeks ago, do what they do and don't get in their way if they can get people out who need to get out for fear of their life. And that sort of leads to my other question, too, in terms of if you have an American, a legal permanent resident, Afghan allies murdered because of who they are we even going to hear about it here?
Well, we might or might not, but I think that that's a big part of the problem. And one of the reasons why this never gets off the news cycle for the administration, which is American hostages are going to become really a coin of the realm. And as it's readily apparent that cooperation between the Taliban and Americans and the West isn't really going to work, the value of hostages and hostage taking and trading for things
is going to become more important for the Taliban and others. So I think that there's every expectation that, you know, we could see something like that in the future. You know, we just had this story where, you know, Iran asked for $10 billion just to begin the talks with the United States. Look, this isn't a disparagement on culture in that part of the world, but this is the way these people do things. They're very, very transactional, and they trade for things. And if you're going to trade for something, you have to have something to trade. So there's a lot of value in hostage taking, and I still think that's a real possibility.
This week, a single health care provider in New York City fired 1,400 employees because they refused to be vaccinated. Many restaurants in the city have done the same. More are coming in New York and other cities that have mandated all employees be vaccinated, with few exceptions. Here's Salem host Dennis Prager.
The hatred of people who won't get vaccinated has nothing to do with health. And you know what the hatred is about? It's not about their killing people, because they don't even make that argument, right? What is the argument they make? Oh, 70% of those hospitalized with COVID today are not vaccinated. I don't know how true that is, because they lie about everything. They, meaning the other side, including doctors. The medical profession is, from Fauci and the CDC on down, steeped in lies. So I have no idea if it's true. But in any event, they're killing themselves. That would be the worst charge you could make against the unvaccinated, if you truly believe that. So what is it if it's not medical? It's that there are disobedient Americans. That's all it is about. Disobedient Americans. You will not listen to a Democratic governor, Democratic mayor, a Democratic president. And the ramifications of the punishments don't matter. If fewer people will have medical professionals, 25%, I think I read, was it 25% of nurses and others in working in hospitals in the medical arena? I'm not talking about specifically, let's say, among those who were cleaning the hospital. If they're gone, it doesn't matter to Fauci, Biden, Hochul, that giant who is now the governor of New York. Doesn't matter to them. What matters is we must punish the disobedient. That is all it is about. You have the audacity to think independently of the Democratic Party, the New York Times, and the CDC? That's the view. And if the country goes to hell along with them, that doesn't matter. We have to punish the disobedient.
The latest from Dr. Fauci.
But we can gather for Christmas, or it's just too soon to tell?
You know, Margaret, it's just too soon to tell.
When the Town Hall Review returns in a moment.
This week on Meeting of Minds podcast with Jerry Boyer, I talk with Tom Spence, who's the head of Regnery Publishing, about the farce that is Banned Books Week.
None of the books that you'll find promoted in your bookstore or at your public library during Banned Books Week has ever been banned in any real sense. The place that you'll find most of the titles from the Banned Books Week promotion is the bestseller list. So they're, you know, not really banned. What they have in common is not that someone from the government or Big Brother has removed them from the market. What they have in common is that they almost entirely express a left-wing point of view on something, and usually something having to do with sex or race, you know, kind of the woke topics.
To hear the rest of the interview with Tom Spence from Regnery Publishing, tune in to meetingofmindspodcast.com.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt, brought to you in partnership with our sponsor, the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. In the clip we played before the break, Dr. Anthony Fauci said it is too soon to know whether we can gather with family over Christmas. Then, the next day on CNN, he claimed he had been taken out of context. It was just the latest in a series of blunders or missteps from Dr. Fauci that has damaged his credibility at a time when America needs it most from their most high-profile doctor. Salem host Mike Gallagher addressed the latest.
He must have gotten such a massive pushback that he found the need to run to CNN and complain that his own comments we're somehow taken out of context.
You know, I also said something over the weekend that was taken completely out of context. I was asked, what could we predict for this winter, for like December and Christmas?
I was going to ask you.
Yeah, I mean, I say you hold off on that. I said, we don't know, because we've seen slopes that went down and then came back up. The best way to assure that we'll be in good shape as we get into the winter would be to get more and more people vaccinated. That was misinterpreted as my saying we can't spend Christmas with our families, which was absolutely not the case. I will be spending Christmas with my family. I encourage people, particularly the vaccinated people who are protected, to have a good, normal Christmas with your family. But just the way all of the other disinformation goes around, you say something talking about a landmark of a time and it gets misinterpreted that I'm saying you can't spend family Christmas time, which is nonsense. You can.
Wow. Now that's some spin. Now that's some, that is some world-class spin going on right there. He ought to be a politician. I've tried to give him the benefit of the doubt and say he's not a politician. Oh, he might be a pretty good one, because that's world-class. That is blue chip, five-star spin, if there ever was one. I love how he says, yeah, go spend Christmas with your family, particularly if you're vaccinated. Well, what if you're not vaccinated? Then maybe you really shouldn't spend Christmas with your family. You notice how he says that? Now, particularly if you're vaccinated, you should spend Christmas with your family. If you're not vaccinated, you should be in one of those little ice huts out in the middle of a lake at Lake Winnetonka in the middle of Minnesota in the freezing cold. You should sit out there for all of the winter. Just sit in that little booth. That's how you should spend Christmas, in a little ice shack. I mean, Tracy on my team points out he is a politician. It's just nobody elected him. He's a politician, all right. Like Christmas with your family. Well, I didn't really say that, even though I said it. Do you think Fauci has any credibility left whatsoever? Tucker Carlson had a spot-on monologue about the left's obsession with Tony Fauci.
Drive through affluent neighborhoods in Washington, D.C. to this day, and you will see the signs in people's front yards. Honk for Dr. Fauci. In Dr. Fauci, we trust. And above all, thank you, Tony Fauci. And they really do want to thank him, not for funding the gain-of-function research in Wuhan that created COVID. No, it's bigger than that. They're thanking Dr. Fauci for the gift of life, which he alone bestows. What you're seeing here is Washington's new religion. It's Fauciism. So it shouldn't surprise you that this year, once again, our more leaders are asking Dr. Fauci the very same question. Christmas is coming. Can we celebrate it? Before we go through the hassle of booking plane tickets, renting cars, buying presents for our loved ones, preparing to celebrate the central holiday of the country's biggest religion, please let us know, Dr. Fauci. Is it on or off? Have we been naughty or nice? Tell us.
You know, Tucker raises a very pragmatic question. People need to book trips now. I'm looking at plane schedules and flights now for Thanksgiving, for Christmas. So when Fauci, who literally has bobbleheads and little toy dolls of his likeness in gift shops all over the country, I saw one the other day. I was in a gift store at Grand Central Terminal in New York City. They were Fauci dolls. Whether we like it or not, his words have meaning. It matters. And I hate to crucify the guy. But when you say it's too early to tell whether we can spend Christmas with one another, that matters. That has meaning, that has significance. And the fact that he's now running over to CNN to claim his words were taken out of context tells you something. It tells me he doesn't know what he's doing.
Coming up, China provokes their neighbor.
The biggest war humanity has ever seen, we are on the verge of right now. Most people know nothing about it.
The Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt returns in a moment.
Grounded in our distinctive Great Books curriculum, the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy prepares students for exciting careers in politics who understand the relevance of America's founding principles to today's policy challenges. From our Southern California campus, we've sent over 1,000 alumni across America and around the world. The application period for fall 2022 classes has begun. Find out more at pepperdine.edu/SPP. That's pepperdine.edu/SPP.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt. The media has nearly completely ignored an escalation taking place in the South China Sea as the communist country has sent record number of its jets to taunt their neighbor to the east, the relatively small island nation of Taiwan. China has long claimed ownership of Taiwan, and many believe the United States is the only entity standing in the way of a military takeover by the Chinese Communist Party of the island state. With President Joe Biden as commander-in-chief, China's Xi Jinping may sense an opportunity. Here's Salem host Charlie Kirk.
Are we headed for a conflict with China? We have said that our sources within the highest levels of our military are seeing rumblings of a conflict brewing over Taiwan. Now, this is a very important thing to dissect and talk about. Xi Jinping has come out and he has said that it is priority number one of the Chinese Communist Party to try to reunify Taiwan. That's what he said. Resolving the Taiwan question and realizing China's complete reunification is a historic mission and an unshakable commitment of the Chinese Communist Party of China. It is also a shared aspiration of all the sons and daughters of the Chinese nation. We will uphold the One China principle and the 1992 consensus and advance peaceful national reunification. All of us, compatriots on both sides of the Taiwan Strait, must come together and move forward in unison. This feels like a veiled threat. We must take absolute action to utterly defeat any attempt towards Taiwan independence. They already have Taiwanese independence, otherwise he wouldn't want to reunify. What do you have to reunify if there's already Taiwanese independence? And work together to create a bright future for national rejuvenation. No one should underestimate the resolve, the will, and the ability of the Chinese people to defend their national sovereignty and territorial integrity. Now, China cares deeply about Taiwan. They're willing to do whatever it takes to take back Taiwan. But the Taiwanese government, with their own language, their own culture, their own history, their own people, they want nothing of it. In fact, a new story out shows that Taiwan is bracing for war against the Chinese Communist Party. Cut 13, the retired General Jack Keane on Fox saying that these are the different ways that Xi can move on Taiwan. Cut 13.
What he could do is prop down on one of Taiwan's islands, which is closer to the mainland, with military capability. What are we going to do?
What?
Are we going to react to that or not? My reaction to that, put military forces into Taiwan if he does that. He could blockade a major port. All smallest steps to break the resolve and will of Taiwan. He could go for what I call a quick kill. And that is massive air and missile attack going after the National Command Authority and the elites inside of Taiwan and force a surrender very quickly in 2 to 3 days. This is going to be a crisis, I think, that is going to get worse before.
Wow, this is profound what you're saying here, General. We respect your views entirely. You know, but what we're describing here is the world going back to war at some point after 2022. I mean, that's profound. Xi is 68 years old, and you said at the beginning of this conversation, listen to what he says, and he has said repeatedly. That this issue will be resolved.
He has a tendency to do what he says.
He has a tendency to do what he says, unlike Biden and the Biden regime, who do the opposite of what they say. Xi Jinping is going to try to take Taiwan. So here's the question. In the Taiwan Strait, what are we going to do about it? We're going to put an aircraft carrier? No. We're going to tell China to stop? No. China knows that our foreign policy is now the Taliban foreign policy. Give $85 billion in weapons to the Taliban. Now, if we had a foreign policy establishment that actually cared about things that matter. Instead of giving $85 billion to the Taliban, why don't we give $85 billion of weapons to the Taiwanese? Xi Jinping is getting older. He's growing impatient. And to stave off an inter-party revolt, they want Taiwan. Now, some of you might say, why does China want more land? Aren't they happy with what they have? You know nothing of empires. It is not enough till every corner, every speck of dust, every blade of grass is under the flag that they prefer. Go read some history. So who's going to stop Xi Jinping from taking the sovereign nation of Taiwan? Taiwan realizes they are alone, literally and metaphorically, on an island. Taiwan realizes that now China has sent 56 planes towards Taiwan. This move could happen any day now. What is Joe Biden going to do? Well, the Chinese Communist Party owns and operates Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, so probably not a lot. Is Taiwan going to fight, or has the Chinese Communist Party finally infiltrated Taiwan enough within their government, within their police force, to try and make an invasion of Taiwan easier? If you give every single Taiwanese citizen an AR-15, China would be terrified to invade. You arm the people of Taiwan, makes it a lot harder place to go land troops. Around every corner, you would find a dedicated citizen ready to defend their land against the Chinese imperialists. The Taiwan foreign minister has come out and said, we're preparing for war with China. The statement comes after Taiwan sharply criticized China on Saturday after Beijing marked the founding of the People's Republic of China with the largest ever incursion by the Chinese Air Force into the island's air defense zone. It's really hard to imagine that they do not invade with Mark Milley at the helm. Mark Milley, who's a Chinese Communist Party operative himself. He thinks China's wonderful. On ABC's China Tonight, Taiwan's Foreign Minister Joseph Wu said that if the PLA launches a strike, Taiwan is ready to repel it, which will turn that region into a war zone. He says the defense of Taiwan is in our own hands, and we are absolutely committed to it. Taiwanese fighters scrambled against 38 Chinese aircraft in two waves on Friday. It said Taiwan sent combat aircraft to warn away the Chinese aircraft, while missile systems were deployed to monitor them. Taiwan Premier Su Tang said China has wantonly engaged in military aggression, damaging regional peace. Yeah, well, welcome to the new imperialists. And where are the Americans? Nowhere to be found. Taiwan is going to be largely left to defend themselves. The Chinese Communist Party is the greatest enemy to America, to the West, and to our way of life, outside of the domestic threats that we have, of course, against the American left. Taiwan Foreign Minister, we're preparing to go to war with China. Wouldn't this be an interesting time for most mainstream media to actually cover this? The biggest war humanity has ever seen, we are on the verge of right now. And most people know nothing about it.
Go to Town Hall Review to hear the entire talk from Charlie Kirk. Coming up.
I don't think they're appropriate tactics, but it happens to everybody.
The final segment of the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt when we return. If you enjoy the Town Hall Review and you are a person of faith, let me introduce you to another podcast I think you'll like. It's the Christian Outlook, and in it you'll hear the leading voices in the Christian world engaging the issue of the day. This week, dramatic testimony on Capitol Hill on the dangers of Instagram.
Facebook knows that Instagram dramatically changes the experience of high school.
We'll look at how social media has changed us.
And that, I think, takes away some of the, what I would call, temperature controls.
And we'll look at the demographic of those most negatively impacted.
32% of teen girls said that when they felt bad about their bodies, Instagram made them feel worse.
Plus, a closer look at Banned Books Week.
In 2021, I argue, book banning has actually appeared in the United States.
And an extended conversation with Alistair Begg, who brings a challenge for courage in our fast-changing nation.
We live in Babylon. No matter what you think about Washington, D.C., or London, or Paris, or whatever it is.
We've got all this and more. To subscribe, go to ChristianOutlook.com. That's ChristianOutlook.com. Welcome back to the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt. Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema consistently votes in line with President Biden. But she and Senator Joe Manchin are troubled by the enormous amount of extra spending the progressives have put on the table. There was a day when this would lead to lengthy negotiations and some sort of compromise. These are different times, and progressives used tactics that just a short time ago were considered reprehensible. Left-wing activists have bullied cinema, especially, to the point of following her into a restroom and filming the harassment of a United States senator. Here's Salem host Mike Gallagher.
I saw a great tweet, David Harsanyi, who we've interviewed on this show before. Our country is so free that illegal immigrants can yell at senators in public without worrying about any repercussions. That's how free we are as a country. To all the lunatics on the left who tell you how oppressive we are as a nation, how racist this country is, how miserable the United States of America is, we're so free that we let illegals harass, maybe criminally, U.S. senators, and we don't do anything about it. Tell me why these illegals harassing senators shouldn't be deported. Tell me that an illegal who feels emboldened enough to walk into a ladies' restroom when Kyrsten Sinema is attempting to go to the bathroom and harasses her, tell me how that illegal, that self-described illegal, shouldn't be deported. Happened on an airplane, too, yesterday. Don't you love the illegal saying, "You're my senator"? Oh, really? She's your senator? You're an illegal. You don't have a senator. You might have a senator in some province or some county or whatever they call it in Mexico. You don't have a senator here. I mean, the premise is false. And here's dummy Biden, the dummy president of the United States. He has to qualify his response when Peter Ducey asked the president about this kind of behavior.
Mr. President, you're talking about how you have 48 Democratic votes right now. The other two have been pressured over the weekend by activists. Joe Manchin had people on kayaks show up to his boat, TL at him. Senator Sinema last night was chased into a restroom. Do you think that those tactics are crossing a line?
I don't think they're appropriate tactics, but it happens to everybody. From the only people it doesn't happen to are people who have Secret Service standing around them. It's part of the process. Yes, sir.
Part of the process. Happens to everybody. Illegals harassing senators, cornering them, chasing them down, happens to everybody. It's part of the process. Maybe in some third world country, but it shouldn't happen here.
Thanks for joining us for the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt. Catch up on earlier episodes at our website, townhallreview.com. Sign up for a daily dose of the best in talk radio. Special thanks to executive producer Russell Shubin, producers Charlie Richards, David Bouchon, Michael Cook, Alex Perez, Adam Ramsey, and Dwayne Patterson. Let me say thanks once again to our sponsor, the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for joining us.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.